time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the day with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City in Sarah, Oklahoma. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. It's nice out there. 80 degrees at Hollis, 76 at Mangum, 70 here in Elk City, 81 at Arnett, 84 at Slapout, 84 at the May Ranch, 84 at Lahoma out here in Panhandle of Texas, 79 at Canadian, 75 at Dozers, 79 just changed to Childress, and 76 at Odell. All right, cool. I had the privilege yesterday of driving up here north of town to the Jimmy Smith farm. And the no-till on the plains and the Oklahoma Conservation Commission was there. And it was pretty interesting. Oh, yeah. And Jimmy Emmons, our assistant chief for the NRCS in Washington, was also in attendance. Good crowd, busload. I guess they start somewhere. I'm probably talking way out of turn here. There was people from Kansas and Oklahoma on the bus. And so I don't know if they started in Kansas and worked their way through Oklahoma and picked up some Okies. But anyway, there was a busload of them. Bus driver was really cool. And I don't even remember his name. But he knows a lot about rifles and Army, so, and Marines. So we had a good talk. They stopped at the Smith family farm up here. Jimmy and Spencer talked about the cereal rye cover crops for 60 years, and then the deal that they invented, Jimmy and them up there, and Spencer built the interseeding drill. They went over that and looked at some gauge wheels that 4Ag's got, so it was pretty interesting, and it was just, they looked at the soil out there where the cotton was growing and the no-till ground, and it was pretty good. It was, well, it wasn't pretty good. It was real good. And then they went out to Simon's last night. They invited me, and I've never turned down a free meal, I don't think. But went out to Simon's and had a good conversation out there. And I awarded Jimmy Emmons a no-till tomato for being such an innovator in the no-till and regenerative farming. So I gave him a no-till tomato. He sliced her up and shared it with everybody. But it's pretty interesting. If you guys ever get a chance to go on one of those tours, hop on the bus and go. It looked like a really good time. And what else is going on today? There was no sale at Beaver, so I don't have any yesterday, so I don't have any numbers for the Beaver County Stockyards. Other than that, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Remember, 580-225-9697. Does anybody know what the going rate for small square bales is? What people are charging to square bale? Hey, if you do, I'd appreciate a number. I have one of our listeners text me earlier, and it was curious. 580-225-9697, if you know what small square bales baling is going for. Soybeans futures rose in overnight trading on reduced U.S. acreage and concerns about dry weather in the Delta region. Area planted with soybeans in the U.S. is expected to fall 4% this year to 83.4 million acres, according to the USDA in a report on Monday. That's also slightly down from the March Prospective Plantings report. Acreage is forecast to decline in 25 of the 29 largest producing states. U.S. producers instead planted more corn. How about that? Surprised, whose area is forecast to grow 5% annually to 95.2 million acres. potentially adverse weather is also underpinning soybean futures this morning. Limited rain is expected for the rest of the week in parts of the U.S. Delta, allowing soil moisture to decline, said Don Kinley, an ag meteorologist with Maxar. The loss of moisture will be especially pronounced in southern areas of the region. Drier weather in central areas of the Midwest also will sap soil moisture for soybeans and corn, though improvement is possible next week. Soybean futures for November delivery came up 6 pennies to 10.33 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell about to 286.60 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.75 cents to 54.43 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery fell a penny and a half to 4.20 and a quarter a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery came up a penny and a half to 5.50 and a half a bushel overnight, while Kansas City futures gained 0.75 cents to 5.32 a bushel. What else going on in our world of agriculture? Farmers in Brazil will increase soybean planting and production in the 25-26 year, according to the USDA. Area devoted to the beans will increase to 121.3 million acres. That's a lot of soybeans from an estimated, about 110 million acres last year. Production will rise to 176 million metric tons next year. That's about 7 million more than the 24-25 year, according to the USDA. Planted area and output will both rise in South American country amidst favorable weather and technological advances. By comparison, U.S. producers are expected to harvest 118.1 million metric tons for 25-26 marking year here in the U.S. Yikes. Nothing going on weather-wise. According to the National Weather Service, looks like North Dakota and parts of Minnesota will have some severe weather today. Maybe an inch of rain or better. It's raining here, not a whole lot. Let's check the radar real quick. Looks like eastern Beckham County and a little bit of Greer County and most of Wichita County are having, and Caddo County, all having rain showers. Looks like there's some building up around Sweetwater in Roger Mills County. So chance of rain for a big part of the day around here today. So we'll see how that goes. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. And let's see here. Whoa. I got to get to the right app. Here we go. Here is the Taylor Ranch question of the day. 580-225-9697. And I got a package that's supposed to be delivered up to Woodward here in the next, supposed to have been today, the council sales meeting. Sometime in the next week, I'll get this package. I got Great Plains National Bank hats. I got beef sticks and some other stuff going up there. So I'll have some up there pretty quick. Sorry about that. We thought we'd have it all resolved by now, but everything keeps getting canceled. Okay, here's the question for the three beef sticks, the Juan, Jose, and Jesus, the three amigos, Taylor Ranch beef sticks are really good. Here's your question. The drought monitor is released every Thursday. The four different levels of drought on the drought monitor are an exceptional, extreme, severe, or moderate drought. When was the last time any of these four levels of drought were reported in Oklahoma? A, June 19th, B, June 12th, C, June 5th, D, May 29th. Here's the key to this question. Pay attention. The drought monitor is released every Thursday. The four different levels of drought, keep that in mind, are drought on the drought monitor are exceptional, extreme, severe, or moderate drought. So when was the last time any of these four levels of drought, keep that in mind, were reported in Oklahoma? A, June 19th, B, June 12th, C, June 5th, D, May 29th. Taking number seven today, 580-225-9697. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. Stoney LaRue.
Oklahoma breakdown. It sure do got you crying.
And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm.
Yes, I'm proud of who I am.
All jamming on Route 66 in Sarah. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of red dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sarah, Oklahoma, powered by KECO. Be there.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Mark your calendar. July 15th, XIT Auctions will be selling 200 acres of good Ouachita County grass just north of Sentinel, Oklahoma. There's an 80-acre track and a 120-acre track, both located on Highway 44. For more information, call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or check the details out at xitauctions.com. Also selling two bank-owned homes, same day, same place. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Canadian, Texas, here's your ag weather forecast for out there. 79 degrees, humidity 61, dew point 64. The winds are out south at 15 with wind gust up to 19 currently. Peak wind gust today was 26 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation so far. 80 degrees is your 8-inch soil temperature. Again, here is your question for the three amigos, Juan, Jose, and Jesus. That's the three amigos, the beef sticks, the barbecue, the jalapeno and cheese and the regular beef sticks from Taylor Ranch. The drought monitor is released every Thursday. The four different levels of drought on the drought monitor are exceptional, extreme, severe, or moderate drought. When was the last time any of these four levels of drought were reported in Oklahoma? A, June 19th, B, the 12th of June, C, June 5th, and D, May 29th. 580-225-9697. Send me your message. Maybe I said it wrong, and there's a really good high possibility I did. So what I'm needing to know for somebody out there is, what is small square baling, small square bales, what's it cost to get them baled up? Custom baling price. Is it 50 cents a bale, $1.50, $5 a bale? For custom baling small square bales. How's that? Maybe that clears it up a little bit. All right, let's check out the current markets on the board. Looks like the cattle are recovering. That didn't last long with the Mexican border open up. Grains for July 425 up 5. September 412 up 6 and 3 quarters. Soybeans for July 1045 up 20 and a half. August 1049 up 19 and 3 quarters. Soybean meal. July 270.80 up 160. August 275.30 up 160. Soybean oil. July 54.95 up 119. And hard red winter wheat. July 520 up 9 and 3 quarters. September 539 up 8. Oil out of West Texas. August 67.01 up $1.56. Natural gas. What's it doing today? It's up. August 3.49, up 8. NASDAQ and S&P are all trading in the positive side, and the Dow is in the red. Live cattle, August 2.11.62, up 87. October 2.08.82, up 102. Feeders for August 3.07.82, up 180. September 3.07.47, up 182. October 3.04.95. up 152. Ling hogs, July 109.57, up 57. There you have it. Let's see what happened with cotton. Where's she at? There she is. All right, let's see what happened in the big old world of cotton in the last week or so. See what the prices are. There we go. For cotton, net export sales for the week ending June the 19th were 30,100 bales. That brings the total to 2425 sales to approximately 12.5 million. Total sales at the same point in 2324 marketing year was approximately 13.6 million. So they're a little over a million bales behind last year. Total new crop for the 2526 sales are already at 1.8 million. Shipments for the week were 198,300 bales, bringing total exports to date to 10.6 million compared with 10.2 million at a comparable point in the 23-24 marketing year. With less than 2 months remaining in the marketing year, weekly shipments must average 145,800 bales to reach the USDA projection of 11.5 million bales. There you have it. What else is going on in the cotton world? Let's see here. Just a lot of politics. Lots of politics going on in Washington, it looks like. Okay, let's see here. I have, tonight. Starting today, this is the first one, the Elk City Farmers Market, bringing the community together one market day at a time. Tonight will be from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at 2222 West 3rd Street, right over here across from Ackley Park in the pond with the train tracks around it. starting at 6 o'clock at 7:30 on the south side of 3rd Street there. 2222 West 3rd Street. First time tonight. Sorry, I'm not going to be there. And I'm actually out of tomatoes right now. Oh, yes. Kirk Feed, the old co-op in Sayre, Oklahoma. I dropped off about 50 pounds of tomatoes there this morning. You guys want to go by there and buy some tomatoes from them? They got them while they're there. See how that goes. Let's see here. That's it. Nobody else texted me the other day on other farmers markets that are going on in like Hobart or Clinton, Weatherford, Sayre. I don't have any clue. If somebody will let me know, I will definitely help you out here. So I seen this was pretty interesting. This article that I seen on social media, and it's not from America, but it could work in America. It says this grassland study suggests varied curve mowing pattern may support bees and butterflies better than conventional block mowing. And what it's saying here, it says permanent grasslands and agriculture areas are important for biodiversity, especially pollinators. Researchers in Belgium found irregular curved mowing patterns have positive effects on pollinators compared to conventional block cutting, like back and forth or round and round is what they're saying. Up to 34% of the ag area of the European Union consists of permanent grasslands. These habits have a dual role in, or habits, the habitats have a dual role in supporting biodiversity and serving ag functions such as grazing and hay production. Their role in maintaining wild pollinators such as bees and butterflies also benefit ag where crops, especially fruits, rely on them for pollination. However, in the 2020 European Environment Agency State of the Nature in the EU report, the conservation status of nearly half, 49% of the grasslands, was assessed as bad. Meanwhile, a dramatic decline in pollinating insects have been reported in Europe and globally in recent decades in several key habitats, including grasslands. Semi-natural grasslands require ongoing management to prevent the growth of woody vegetation and maintain their distinctive characteristics. Typically, land managers do this through regular grazing or mowing. Mowing an entire area at once, however, can have a negative impact on biodiversity as sources of food and shelter are abruptly removed. This problem can be mitigated by mowing only part of the total area on each occasion. One way of achieving this is a rotational or block mowing system, which all parts the block are cut at least once a year, but a patch is left unmowed each time. Traditionally, a rectangular patch is cut with the position of the rectangle moved on each occasion to cover the entire area over two or three mowing cycles. But in recent years, an alternative system for partial mowing has been developed and employed by the Flanders region of Belgium, explained researchers behind a new study. Wonder what this study cost. Using curved instead of straight mowing lines, this simple but innovative approach involves marking a path, a sinus they're calling it, through the grassland and mowing the flanking area in curved lines. The proportion mowed each time remains at 2/3, but the shape of the area is changed each mow, producing a scattered pattern of cut and uncut zones. By varying mowing cycles sparsely and temporarily, the goal is to create diverse grassland habitats with a range of food and shelter for residential pollinators, say the researchers. So I guess go out there and grab a beer and drive in curves. And I mean, if you got GPS on your tractor, auto steer, you can make some pretty cool patterns out in your hay patch or your, see, that's the deal over here. I don't, it's very rare I see anybody mowing their pastures unless the weeds got away from them or something. And when I say mowing, I'm talking about shredding. So I don't see that. I mean, I see some small places like got 2 or 3 acres. They go out and mow around the barn and stuff. But sounds like they need some cattle over there or something. But there's a picture on this deal, and it's got this like 50, 60 horsepower tractor with a cab on it, and got a 5 foot mower that looks like it belongs on a golf course out there mowing grass. It's like 2 foot tall. So you need to put that up to hay, what you need to do. But no, all joking aside, I guess it makes sense. Go out there and, I mean, you can't help it when you're haying, but if you are mowing your pasture, makes sense just to mow part of it, come back in a week and get the other part while the other parts are growing back, because pollinators are very important. And I have seen less bees this year than I have in a long time. I've seen a lot of butterflies, but not a lot of bees. So, all right, let's take a Taylor Ranch break. I'll take a look at the text line, see if we got us a winner yet. Be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your farm deserves only the best, and that's why Valley Genuine Parts are crafted to meet the highest standards to elevate your pivot's performance, covering all your pivot needs. Valley Genuine Parts provide optimal operation and extend the life of your pivots, from drivetrain components to sprinkler parts. Invest in the best for your farm. Valley is your partner in irrigation success. Stop by Knutson Irrigation or call 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough, with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 23rd. 861 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 428 brought 435. 18 at 490 brought 392.50. 8 at 586 brought 335. 9 at 612 brought 344. 12 at 636 brought 328. 31 at 885 brought 282. 8 at 922 brought 284. 10 head of heifers at 475 brought 370. 13 at 715 brought 296. 23 at 751 brought 289, 9 at 776 brought 285, 39 at 784 brought 280, 16 at 825 brought 278. Butcher cows were 119 to 175, butcher bulls brought 159 to 207, bred cows 2075 to 3025, pairs brought 3375 to 3800. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. Camargo, it's 82, feels like 84. Hey, I might see you this Saturday, cousin, if you're listening. 2.67, humidity 61, the winds are out of the south, southwest, 13 with wind gust up to 22. 10-day rain total, 32 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 85 degrees. Sunset at 8:58. 20% chance of thunderstorms today at 86. Tonight, another 20% slight chance of thunderstorms and 68 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Light winds out of the south, 86 degrees, according to the weather forecast. Okay, we have a winner, and I will notify them here in a minute. And the Taylor Ranch question of the day was, the drought monitor is released every Thursday. The four different levels of drought on the drought monitor are exceptional, extreme, severe, or moderate drought. When was the last time any of these four levels of drought were reported in Oklahoma? And the correct answer is D, May the 29th is the last time. Yes, if you were looking on the maps, and that's why I told you guys to pay attention to my question was, there was a, where'd it go? Hang on, Jimmy Rhodes, Cotton King. There we go. The June 5th report had a little bit of abnormally dry, but nothing in any of the four drought categories. So it wasn't in a drought. It was just abnormally drought. And some of you guys guessed that. But you were wrong. You was totally wrong. Okay, let's see here. The big beautiful bill has been in the news here lately, as you all know, and I just love politics. But today, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Senior Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane, thanked the Senate for passing the one big beautiful bill. Vice President had to come in, break the tie, and urged the House to quickly pass the revised version of the bill so President Trump can sign it into law. The Senate version of the One Big Beautiful Bill protects family farmers and ranchers across the country from a massive tax hike at the end of the year, increases the death tax exemption, makes the Section 199A tax deduction permanent, increases the Section 179 tax deduction, funds foreign animal disease prevention programs, and deliver so many more wins for cattle producers. The Senate version of the bill also does not include controversial provisions that have gained national attention. The bill does not include any sale of public lands, and it does not include controversial language on eminent domain. There you have it. I don't even like to look at that word, eminent domain. I mean, I know they got to use it for highways and stuff like that, but this crap that's been going on up there, like in Iowa and North Dakota, in that area there where they're trying to get that carbon pipeline through there, that's a bunch of crap to use the eminent domain for that. Capturing carbon is not that important. Also, we were talking about that deal mowing, and my man down there at SEI Agritech sent me a text, and he said rotational grazing helps out the pollinators also. True. It's a fact. It's true. Okay, what else we got going here? I'm saving the last section for tractors. got Pistol Pete, and I got a little deal on some IH Internationals. And let's see here. Okay. I have some friends, and I've also heard some stories on some other people's in the last couple of years that's been scammed on machinery. So I seen this in Farm Journal, and I want to share this with you guys if you didn't see it. A recent case showed that bad actors will target farmers to take advantage of their trust and deal sinking in used equipment market. Two experts tell us what to look for and tips for avoiding a messy situation with your next big purchase. If you end up on the receiving end of a questionable looking email, like from a Nigerian prince who just so open happens to have this can't miss once in a lifetime opportunity for you, all you have to do is go buy this used baler, sell it for thousands of dollars more than you paid for it, and then send a few thousand dollars to your new friend in Africa, and you get to pocket the rest of it. You're probably going to laugh, delete that email, and move on with your day. True fact. It would be nice if all used equipment scams were that easy to spot in the wild, but scammers are becoming increasingly sophisticated in how they put their grifts in motion. One recent well-publicized case appears really concerning on its face because the fox was loose in the hen house. Dustin Eckenbarger, I hope I said that right, 43, was arrested in June on 17 felony counts of fraud and forgery in Indiana. I think I covered this story. Eckenbarger, or however you say his name, is presumed innocent until proven otherwise. Is accused of using his position as a sales rep at the local John Deere dealership, Trulin Equipment, to rope a handful of farmer customers across two states into a used farm machinery buying and selling scheme. You can brush up. The case is set for jury trial this fall. Zach Bosley, founder and CEO of TractorTuesday.com, and Aaron Fintel, used equipment specialist with 21st Century Equipment, spoke with us about some issues that they've encountered in the used market and how buyers can protect themselves. Here are a few common issues that farmers should be very aware of. 1. Lien complications. Many transactions involve blanket liens and sometimes multiple liens, which can complicate or invalidate a deal if the equipment is not cleared for transfer. Some sellers might even be unaware of existing liens on that machinery. Bankruptcy issues. When sellers file for bankruptcy, it can lead to hiccups with the sale and ownership transfer. For example, if farm equipment was sold before a seller's bankruptcy declaration but still carries a lien, the buyer could find themselves entangled in a legal dispute with creditors. Another one, long processing times. When a lien needs to be cleared, it often involves lengthy delays in transactions. Buyers might even find themselves unable to secure financing. Here are some of the insider tips to help you stay safe in the used equipment marketplace. UCC diligence, is that right? Buyers should contact UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Code. Search for identify existing liens, just as many the big online auction houses will do before listing the machine for auction. Research the seller before making a purchase. Ensure you're dealing with a reputable sellers or auction houses. That's what sucks for some of those people from Indiana. Hell, that guy was a salesman at John Deere. Do your homework by conducting online search, social media, local court records, Google searches. Call his ex-wife or whatever. Find out what's going on with this guy. Verify equipment history. Use the equipment serial number to perform online searches. Look for issues or conflicts. This includes checking for outstanding liens or claims. And I don't know how you'd go through like a sheriff's department or something to see if it's stolen equipment. I don't know how you do that. Sorry. Engage local dealers, consult local dealerships and sales representatives that you trust. bring the serial number with you so you, the dealer, can verify that history of the machine and pull any service records. And I did that with my Schlotthorn tractor when I bought them 10, 15 years ago. Obtain a lien waiver. If there is a lien, the previous owner should seek a lien waiver from the lender. Still red flags? This is the best one of all of them. If you see some red flags, you know the best thing to do? Walk away. That's the best thing. Legal advice for large purchases. You can save yourself from headaches if you have a trusted local attorney look over any large equipment purchase deal before signing on the dotted line. It is really important that you do your due diligence as a buyer, and could be as simple as getting the serial number and using a search engine. So if you're buying something from some guy in Georgia, ask for the serial number. If he says, well, it doesn't have one, it's wore off. You know what? No matter how bad you want that, walk away. It's really that simple. Walk away. His final point in this article was to hammer home on all this would be there are ways to check things out before you buy equipment, so utilize them. Take your time and do your due diligence on the research. And keep in mind, there's no such thing as having too many things in writing, whether it's an email, text message, or whatever. Those are all documents that can be shown in court. There you have it. Let's take a Taylor Rants break. We'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at Corteva.us/LumaviaCPL.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
So there's a company out there that has a certain color. All the farmers and stuff think their oil has to be used in those certain color of tractors. And it's just not true. So here at Camrock, we have the same specification oil as the other brand, where people think that they have to use that for a certain color on their tractors and stuff like that, but we have the same oil specifications as they do. Works just as well, does the same thing, lubes it just the same. Price comparison is, it's not even a comparison. We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil. I use it at our place. My son uses it for our colored tractors that we have, and a lot of other farmers use it too. It's the same oil, specifications are the same. It's kind of a myth where they think that it's got to be that certain type of oil for that color of tractor.
Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com. Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Who's she here? Let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Mangum, big town of Mangum, capital of Greer County, 79 degrees, dew point 70, humidity 74. The winds are out of the east, southeast at 4. 10-day rain total, 0.23 inches. And I think it's getting a shower down there right now. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86 degrees. Sunset at 8:55. 20% chance of thunderstorms today, 86. 69 tonight, another 20% slight chance of thunderstorms. And tomorrow, same thing, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms and 87 for a high tomorrow. Okay, so what I found out on this custom small square baling rate is couple different things. According to Farm Progress in Oklahoma, it's $1.28 a bale, and I haven't had time to check out the OSU website for custom farming rates. And another gentleman texted in, he charges $3 a bale with a 200 bale minimum on little squares wire tied. He says, I don't know if that's fair or not. I think it's absolutely fair. Because I think we were getting $1 a bale back in the 80s. And equipment's way higher. Wire's way higher. Fuel's way higher. And there might be some guys out there cursing me right now because I think $3 is fair. Because I actually think round baling ought to be around 30 bucks a bale. Minimum. Buy a baler, buy a tractor, fix on them, a swather and stuff, and then come back and talk to me about that. Oh, I won't pay you but $17 a bale to bale that. Costs money, gentlemen. This equipment's high. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. I'm on the custom side. I'm not on the custom side. I'm on the custom side. And anybody that owns equipment that does custom baling and swathing, that crap's high. So all I can tell you, expenses are high. So I think it ought to be just as good. Plus, you guys are making money on cattle this year. Very rare, but we get it. No, I'm just looking at it from both sides, guys. I'm not trying to start an argument with you over the deal, but think about it. Was getting $10 a bale for round baling in the 80s, and now it's $20 or 25, up 20 to 25 now. It wasn't that long ago with 15 to 18, and equipment's three, four, five times higher now than it was back in the 80s. So I just think it's fair. Just my opinion. You don't have to argue with me over it. I'm just giving you my opinion. All right, let's look at where is Mr. Pete. All right, here's Red, White, and Tractors Machinery Pete's 4th of July farm equipment highlights. Get your feel of used equipment deals from the holiday week ahead with a pair of pre-F John Deere machines, a 40-plus-year-old Case IH tractor, and a collector's item that would look good in anyone's machine shed. Get ready to wave the flag, he says. Wave it wide and wave it high. It's the official midway point of the summer growing season. The week of the 4th of July is finally here, and Machinery Pete is feeling the U.S. pride. USA pride. He's high-stepping like Uncle Sam with four picks of the week to share after a busy end of the June on the used farm equipment auction market. His first pick of the week comes to you from the Donald Bergquist Farm Retirement Auction in Edmore, North Dakota. Pete recently talked about the high auction prices that well-maintained pre-def equipment will often garner at retirement auctions. And this particular transaction set a new high for the year 2025. His 2011 John Deere 9770 STS Combine, and it's a beautiful machinery. It's in beautiful condition with 446 hours on it, sold for $187,500. That's the third highest auction price of all time on a 2011 9770 STS, and the top result for the make model over the last 6 months. You can expect that to sell high, of course. That's pre-diff, Pete says. I've been writing and talking a lot for the last year or so about how late model combines have been adjusting downwards pretty aggressively for a couple of years now. Yet, despite the fact that older pre-diff combines in good condition, wow, he said they're really hot. Pete says the sparks were flying on that one because the combine sparked a fury debate amongst his Facebook followers. Some used equipment advocates claimed it's a bargain because many farmers today prefer the 10 to 15-year-old used combines in good conditions versus newer, harder to DIY models. Others claimed old machines that haven't been used much of late are going to have problems to put back in use. Pete's second pick of the week set a new all-time high record, and it came off a consignment auction in Dalton, Minnesota. This one was a one-owner 1982 Case IH 2290 tractor with 2,576 hours from the Glintz Farms retirement auction line out of Underwood, Minnesota. It sold for a whopping $27,500. Previous record was for a Case IH 2290 was $26,250 set in 2023. Here's a sweet one, I think. Pete's third pick of the week also generated a lot of discussion on social media. On Saturday in Huntertown, Indiana, a 2003 John Deere 7810 mechanical front-wheel drive tractor with 12,110 hours on it sold for $137,000. That's the seventh highest auction price of all time on a 7810 with mechanical front-wheel drive. And then this one, this is crazy. At last but not least, Pete's fourth pick of the week is a bit of a curveball. At Lake Benton, Minnesota, a unique three-legged John Deere farm implement sign sold for $8,500. That's crazy. $8,500. So I still think that was a cool deal on that, or a great deal. I don't mean it was a bargain, but that's crazy that 7810 brought $137,000. And that combine, look it up on Farm Journal, Ag Web Daily, that combine looked like it just come off showroom floor. It was pretty nice. What else we got going here? As you guys might have heard already, Texas bans lab-grown meat, citing consumer protection and agriculture interests. Texas officially become the seventh state to ban the sale of lab-grown meat. I'm waiting for Oklahoma to do the same. I don't know what their holdup is. Currently, right now, Texas, Nebraska, Indiana, Mississippi, Montana, Alabama, and Florida have all banned lab-grown meat. And I think there was in some areas there I wanted to make sure. Hang on here. Don't worry. Oh, this is what I want you guys to understand about lab-grown meat. It's important to know that cell-cultivated meat isn't synthetics. As food and wine, there was a big article on social media going around here a couple of months ago. Food and wine previously reported that it's cell cultivated, it isn't synthetic. It's not true. It says here, it's important to know that cell cultivated meat is not synthetic. And it's actually made from animal cells so it doesn't require the slaughter of animals. That's the big deal behind this. They don't want us to slaughter animals. So they're coming up with this crap. And it's about time you run into your congressman from Oklahoma or on the state side, not the federal side. Talk to him about this. We might have some already covering this here, but we're not in that list of deals. We don't need that crap around here. See those four-legged animals out in the pasture eating that green grass right now? They taste really good on the plate. Rehome them in your freezer. Have a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.